Just a couple things to pass on your way. For announcements, we will have a second round of our NCD survey. So we're going to do it once every year for the next 3 years, I think. We're a little bit late. I think we had it November last time, December. We're going to do it in January here. So 30 of you will be selected to do it, okay? So don't be surprised if something shows up in your mailbox and has something to do with Natural Church Development Survey. Be great if you could fill it out, okay? Your mailbox, check your mailbox. You might have Christmas blessing there in there. You might be surprised. You might get a card. Check it out. There is a church family party. I'm not sure if this is slash Christmas, New Year's, maybe New Year's. The Fairs are hosting at their house January 5th. And so that's already before next Sunday, right? I think it's a Saturday. Yeah, so this is your last chance announcement. Let people know because no one's here. So at the Fairs, and so it is, let's see, 4 o'clock to 9 p.m. There will be hot dogs, buns provided, along with a beverage. Please bring a food item to share. So you can read the rest of it, I guess. Bring your toboggan swimsuit and towel. My goodness, oh, for the hot tub. And they have a skating rink, I believe. Bring your sticks. Sounds like fun. Okay, so contact the Fairs if you would like to go. Church directory coming out, so if you don't have your information in, do that. That'd be great. Thank you for the recent donations to our food pantry, Bread Plus pantry. So we're, I think, pretty well stocked up again. So we also got the leftovers from the hampers that were delivered last week. So that's nice. Got a few extra there. Houses for El Salvador. Are we up to date? Everything's good. Okay. All right. Okay. So next Sunday, we should pray you guys commissioning, right? Because you're gone that week. Okay. So we'll do that next week.
I'd like to do the prayer calendar again, if that's cool with you guys.
Awesome. Okay. We'll do that. All right. Okay. All right. Anything we should pray about for each other? Some of you are probably aware of Sarah Dick. She's just experiencing high blood pressure. She's actually been taken to the hospital twice by ambulance this last week. So she's not doing so hot. And so do pray for her. And some people have brought her some meals. Cheryl and I are going to do that right after church today. So if you want to be in touch, she responds by text. So, but I think she's has to kind of stay up. You want to say something?
Well, just let me know if you want to take a meal so that
we're coordinated. Okay. Yeah, let Cheryl know if you want to do something for her. So what I understand is she can't lie down because that increases her pressure, blood pressure. She has to sit up, okay? And so even at nighttime and to sleep. So, yeah, so pray for her. Give her a dingle. She would appreciate it. Anything else, anyone we could pray for? Yeah, Andre?
Just this girl I work with. She's in the hospital right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. What's her name, Andre?
Kaylee.
Okay. We'll pray for Kaylee. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I read his little piece there. She is too, eh?
Hmm. She is. No, she's like, not working surgery.
Yeah.
And then she's still working, but always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Someone else back?
I was saying pray for like your wedding when you're going to home or whatnot.
Okay. Absolutely. Jordan? Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was quite the dump, and the roads are dangerous for sure. So, okay. All right. And in your bulletin, there are other requests to pray for. Our government, our Bread Plus pantry, PRBI students, they're coming back. Our friend Bruce is coming back, by the way. So, yeah, coming back. So, okay, well, let me lead you in prayer. And we'll think of these people. Lord, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for the break that we are having. Spend time with our friends and family. Celebrate who you are and your coming to us as a baby. And Lord, we want to think of some of our friends who are not doing so great. We think of Sarah, and we ask, Lord, that you would comfort her during this time, that you bring healing to her body, encourage her own soul and spirit during this time, encourage her. We pray for Andre's friend, Katie, I believe it is, in hospital. We don't know exactly what it is, but we just pray for healing for her, and may she know your love during this time as well. We pray for Merv and Laurie Gurnett. Just from the Facebook posts we've heard, there's some struggles there and lack of employment and financial challenges as well, but mostly physically and emotionally, and we just pray for healing, encouragement for them as a couple and a family during this time. Lord, we pray for safety on the roads, as was asked, and this big snow dump, and things are a little bit crazy here on the weekend, so we just pray for safety on the roads and your protection. Lord, we just give you the glory, and as we read this morning, may we be a people who, even in difficult times, especially in difficult times, that we would rely not on ourselves, but upon you. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We got a couple ushers around? Sure. We probably only need Andre. No bags. Okay. Someone want to grab the bags? So. Okay.
Oh, they're back.
Yeah, Lauren's going to get them, so. Like to sing a solo? Would you like to recite something? No.
I'll do it, man.
Just don't forget it's church. Just don't.
I'm going to make this lighter disappear. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for the spiritual application. I was looking for something.
You know where they are, though? Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Andre. Thank you for giving us the gift of humor. Let's put it that way. So, take both. All right. Good. Okay. Would you like to pray for us, too?
Sure.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah.
Dear Lord, thank you. We could all come together here. Sending your son over Christmas, and just bless everybody here, and bless the trip to El Salvador that's coming up, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I was going to share something I should have shared earlier. Really cool website I found. If you're interested, it's sort of an apologetic website. It's called Cold Case Christianity. And there's a Los Angeles detective 30 years ago who heard about Christianity. He was a skeptic, an atheist, but he's a cold case detective, so he examines cases, murder cases from 30 years ago, whatever. So he started applying that same principle to the scriptures, and through it found it to be reliable, and has become a Christian. So he's been doing this ministry for a while. So it's really cool for young people too. So I don't know why I'm telling you about that now, but so if that's something you're interested, if you're, you know, ever challenged by the skeptic to about the validity of the scripture and how can it be reliable, how can you trust the resurrection and all that stuff, he's got some phenomenal points in there. So Cold Case Christianity is called. So really cool stuff. You to stand up again. We'll sing a few songs. Worship our Lord.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge of my cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. The stain that we cannot hide, what can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. It's grace that is greater than all our sin. Yes, it's grace that is greater than all our sin.
You believe that? Thank you.
glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever He will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow my knee.
I gladly bow my knee
and worship Him alone. I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain. Reconcile man to God. Forever you will be, the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow my knee, and worship you alone. Forever you will be, the Lamb upon the throne,
the Lamb upon the throne.
I gladly bow my knee,
I gladly bow my knee,
and worship you in us. Your name. is called Emmanuel. 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 His name is called Emmanuel. Your God with us, revealed in us. Your name is called Emmanuel.
So Lord, we celebrate that today. We thank you that you came. You died, Lord, you were buried, you rose again, and you are with us today. You are Emmanuel, God with us. Wherever we go, whatever we go through, Lord, the good times, the bad times, happy and sad times, you are there with us all the time. And we thank you for that, for guiding us, for leading us, and for helping us grow, for making us stronger. Be glorified, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.
So here we are, already the last Sunday of the year. Years just kind of rush on by, don't they? At least they do for me. And, you know, as I come to the last Sunday of the year, I never really know exactly what to speak on. You know, you could do the New Year's thing. I have a pastor friend in Calgary. He has a tradition that he always speaks from the book of Ecclesiastes. That's his thing. I don't have a tradition like that. But I thought, because we always do the Lord's Supper the last Sunday of the month, I thought I'd do just a different talk, more extended talk on the Lord's Supper and what it means to us and what it should mean to us. And so I just want to call this Jesus' meal, because that's what it is, right? This is Jesus' meal, but it's Jesus' meal for us. And our text today is actually Luke chapter 24, 13 to 35. It's traditionally called the story of, called On the Road to Emmaus, and usually it's talked about at Easter time, right? And I often talked about this text at Easter time in the past. But I want to use it to talk about the Lord's Supper. So Cleopas and his companion, the text doesn't say this, but I think it's probably his wife. Can't prove it, but I think it's his wife. And they're going home in the evening on what would become the first Easter day. And they are confused, and they are very sad, they're dejected. And a stranger joins them on the road. And they tell him how their hopes and dreams for Jesus and the redemption of Israel came crashing down as Jesus was crucified. But the stranger explains to them from their Bible, the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, how these things had to be so. And so if you read the text, I won't read it today, but if you read the text, Jesus explains to them. It goes back to the Moses and the prophets, and that they all said that these things had to happen. And so their excitement is growing within themselves as they hear the stranger's words. And they arrived home, but then they invited the stranger in, because that would be kind of a Middle Eastern custom. By the way, their walk was from Jerusalem to Emmaus was 7 miles. No big deal, right? Let's go walk home 7 miles. So no wonder they would say, come on over for supper. And then while at the table, sitting down for a meal, the stranger breaks the bread. And at that very moment, their eyes are opened. And then they recognize that the stranger is Jesus, the person they're talking about. And then at that very moment, also, Jesus just vanishes. It's one of those outstanding, incredible stories of our Bibles. And then, after walking 7 miles, they are so excited. What they do, they ran back to Jerusalem, that same 7 mile stretch, to tell the others, to tell the disciples and the others. And they say, of course, the rest is history, right? And so the world began to know that Jesus is alive. But the turning point, I think, of the story for our purposes is found in verse 30. And the verse 30, he says that he was... Do I have a slide for this? There you go. Yeah. And in verse 30 it says, as he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them. Now these words are so similar to Luke chapter 22, which is the account of the Lord's Supper. And of course this is repeated in Matthew and Mark, and then Paul repeats it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that we can be quite sure that Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke, wanted us to hear this part of the story as a very strong hint for us. And from now on, our hearts will be warmed by the teaching of the Bible, just as, in a sense, when Jesus was on the Emmaus Road as a stranger to Cleopas and his wife, that he opened the word to them. And then we know the Lord through the breaking of the bread. So when Jesus broke the bread, there was this new revelation that, aha, this is Jesus, right? And so this entire story carries the shape of the Jesus meal, as we sometimes call it, from that day forward. Sometimes I think we take the Lord's Supper for granted. In some traditions, as you know, I mean, it's taken probably a lot more seriously than we do. Some traditions do it every week, all right? And because it's so central, there's no prescription in the Bible, right? As often as you partake, it says in the Bible. So churches decide what to do with that. But it has to be taken seriously because this was Jesus' pattern for us. And so the breaking of the bread is really God's story. It's God's story. It's God's drama. It's not our story. It's rooted in Scripture, as Jesus indicated. He took Cleopas all the way back to the Jewish Scriptures and brought it back to himself. But the thing about the story is that the story can become our story. And that's the whole point of the Lord's Supper. It's this whole movement from this is God's story, this is Jesus' story, but then it can become your story as well. And so the story comes in really two parts. First of all, there's the meal, the word part, and then secondly, the meal part, okay? So the sermon or the message from the Bible is spoken so that our heart is warmed. Jesus opened up the word, the scriptures to Cleopas, and so their heart was warmed. And then the second part is the food that is served so that the Lord is known to us. And so when Jesus broke the bread at mealtime, Jesus was revealed to Cleopas, and so they came to know him. So in the first part, the word part, we can sit and we can listen and we can be anonymous. Today we're not very anonymous because we're not very big. You stand out, right? But you can be anonymous, right? You listen to the word, you can sit there, you can listen. But the second part, the meal, you stop being anonymous. Why? Because you become partakers. And so, you know, we changed this, 10 years ago. We used to hand out the elements, the bread and the wine. But now we invite you to come because it's symbolic of now we are participators in this story, right? We're participating in what God gives to us, and I'll explain that a little bit more. And so this is the pattern. There's the word and there's the meal in the Lord's Supper. And this is what happened historically as well. in the Passover meal, which became the Lord's Supper. This whole grand story of the great Exodus was always told, and then, of course, the meal was partaken of. So let's kind of go through this pattern here. And first of all, the word. The word, you know, this is kind of done in different ways in churches around the world. But let me just kind of name a few things that are components of the service here. First of all, the word comes in. Let me back up. All right, they're all three up there, right? The first one is called the call for the Lord's mercy. Call for the Lord's mercy. Sometimes worshipers will say at this point, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy." And this is sometimes sung, sometimes is spoken. But basically, it's meant to be a time where we are authentically placing all of our concerns, all of our anguishes, all of our joys upon Jesus, right? And so somewhere in the communion time, it is a calling for God's mercy, and we're just giving to him all of ourselves, right? Whether it be good, bad, ugly. And so if you remember, Cleopas and his partner were on the road, and they loaded on Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus, right? But they were telling him of their anguishes and why they were in pain. And we should do the same in a communion service. And so we can't treat it in a detached sort of way, simply as a ceremony. It has to become part of ourselves. And so 1 Peter 5 says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I mean, that's quite the word, cast, right? So what does cast mean? Well, once a week in your neighborhood is garbage day, right? In my neighborhood, garbage day is always Friday, if they remember. Most of the time they do, but sometimes they don't. So what do? You put all of your garbage and you put it in the bin, right? Doesn't that feel good? You take your stinky garbage, everything you didn't want throughout the week, you put it in a plastic bag, and you dump all that useless stuff, and you just dump it in there, right? Now, if you keep it, what's it going to happen? It's going to stink up your life, right? It's going to stink up your house. And so symbolically, in the same way, if you keep your burdens, it's going to stink up your life, right? It's going to weigh you down. And so what do? You do this exercise of dumping that garbage into the bin, and then something wonderful happens on Friday mornings, at least in Sexsmith. The garbage truck comes, right? The garbage truck comes, and he's got one of those, I don't know what they call them, claws, and takes that bin and dumps it into the garbage truck, and then it's gone, right? And then every Friday after work, or Friday in the afternoon, I take that bin back to the house again, and it's completely empty. So that's what cast means. Just dump all of your garbage onto the Lord. Cast your burdens and sins onto Jesus. And when we cast it on him, he knows how to deal with it, doesn't he? He knows how to deal with it because he walked his way to the cross for us. So remember that Jesus knows how to deal with it. And so when we partake in communion, we are engaging in this activity of dumping our burdens on the Lord, okay? And I think it's a special time because you're not just doing this alone. This is the one time where you come together with God's people, right? You have something in common. This is why we call it communion, by the way. It's communal, right? Communion, we come together. Of course, you can do this any time in the week. You can do this every day. You can get up and do this every day, right? But this is the one special moment where you come together with these elements, with God's people, and God gives you the permission to say, dump on me. Cast your burdens on me. I mean, who normally says that? Just cast all your burdens on me. Well, Jesus says that. Cast all your burdens on him. Another component in the word section, whoops, I keep forgetting, it's already up there, is praise, okay? We've already done that, right? We're singing songs of praise, so you can call this whole service really a Lord's Supper service. Our hearts have begun to trust in the Lord, and so we're instructed to give praise to Him. The angels modeled this for us when Jesus was born. Glory to be God, glory be to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill among His people. You know, I know that sometimes that the Lord's Supper, at least for me when I was a child, it felt more like a funeral than anything else. Like, okay, here we go. Here's the Lord's Supper time. And but, you know, it isn't a funeral. Because what God has done for us, that He knows what to do with our life and our sin and our burdens, we give Him praise, right? He knows how to handle our issues. And so this is, as we say, the reason why we sing. This is why we say, give thanks during this time, because of everything He's done. So we must, in this service, at some point, give thanks to Him. And then, of course, there's the Word. And, you know, in our tradition, the Word is pretty important. You know, you actually hire a guy, you name him a pastor, and he preaches at you every week, every Sunday, and the Word is prominent. And so in the communion service, that is true as well. And so the service is always paired with the Word of God. We are reminded of the story of God from the beginning to the end. And so this is what they did at the Lord's Supper. Jesus paired the Lord's Supper with the Passover meal, and that was intentional, because it recalled Israel's past as being slaves. And so the story begins in the Old Testament. And Jesus' last supper with the disciples happened at this Passover, which reminds us of the great slaves that they were, and Moses, and the great Exodus, and how God graciously saved them from slavery. And then the story leads us to Jesus Himself, who brings us eternal freedom. And just as the Israelites went to the wilderness to worship, that was Moses' whole purpose, as he told Pharaoh, let us go so that we may worship the living God. And so the same is here. It leads us to Jesus so we can worship the living King, which is Jesus Christ. And so we worship Jesus as our King. So the reason why we go to the Word is because we can't understand Jesus without opening up the Bible, the Old Testament in particular. You can't understand the Old Testament without Jesus. And so just as Jesus opened the Scriptures up to Cleopas and his wife in the Lord's Supper, we open up the Word and we hear the story over and over again, right? We are a people that repeat things because we think it's important, right? We repeat things over and over and over again. And we dare not get bored of them because it's just as real the second time, the third time, the fourth time around because of the presence of the Lord with us. The Word of God warms our hearts as it did for Cleopas and his partner. Now, we don't preach from the Word to give us just a warm, fuzzy feeling. But we are stirred, right? We're stirred by the Word. It transforms us to confess our faith in Jesus as Lord. And it stirs us to go beyond ourselves and to pray for the world around us, pray for our neighbors in the world, that they too would discover this reality of the presence of Jesus, God with us. And when we say Jesus is Lord in this service, I mean, we're saying something deadly serious. Jesus is Lord means, Lord, You are my primary allegiance and everything else is not, right? And so in the first century, that was radical stuff because the Caesar said, you must be allegiant to me. And he was actually called Lord and Savior, the giver of good news. But Jesus radically comes and the new early church declared, no, Jesus is our Lord. He's our Savior. And so it's a time where we renew our allegiance to Him. The true God in Jesus over above all other gods and idols in the world. And so it becomes this time of confession of our commitment to knowing God in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So that's the first part, what I call the Word part. not necessarily all in that order, but components that really should be in this time of reflection. Then, of course, is the meal. The meal, as we looked at in verse 30, has four parts to it, four actions to be exact, okay? So Jesus, first of all, he takes the bread, and then he blessed it, and he broke it, and then he gave it to them. So these are four actions. So first of all, Jesus took the bread. Now, by bread, we also mean and include the cup as well, the wine as well. As many churches do, these two elements, the bread and the cup, or as we often call it, the elements, is prepared beforehand and brought to the front, to the table. The symbols are actually quite significant here. The symbols of Jesus' meal actually are not grain. We didn't bring grain into the service. In fact, we didn't even bring grapes into the service. What did we bring? We actually brought baked bread of some kind, and we brought wine or juice that comes from the grapes. And this is really actually quite instructive for us. So it's not just the fruit of the earth, but also the fruit of human hands, right? Your labors. It also symbolizes your labors throughout the week. We didn't initiate the action, God did, but now in thankful obedience, we bring these things as a token of our life and work, and then we lay them before God, and we're ready to do his will. So in other words, our work, our everyday work, is never separated from our faith. It's totally integrated, okay? And so Jesus took the bread. And then he blessed the bread. So just as Jesus blessed the bread, we can do the same thing. You know, we pray that it will be a vehicle of God's love for each participant and so for the world as well. The blessing comes in the form of a prayer which the actions of God through Jesus are remembered from creation to Exodus to reaching their climax in the life and death of Jesus Christ. And this can also lead to a celebration in song and worship where we declare the praises of God. Then the bread is broken. This symbol basically is linking the bread to the whole story of Jesus, climaxing at his death that is so powerful and so incredible that really words just have a difficult time expressing in an adequate way to make sense of it all. All we know is the bread is connected somehow with the body of Jesus and his death for us. All we can say is that Jesus chose bread and he chose wine as a way for us to grasp the meaning of his death, right? These are the items he chose. We didn't choose these things. He chose these things. And so he gave us an action to break bread so that we could remember him. Do this in remembrance of me, he says. We don't do this flippantly. We shouldn't do this flippantly. We shouldn't do this in haste. But we do this in worship and in awe. We don't just remember Jesus' death as an event 2,000 years ago, but we remember him in the sense that we pay attention to Jesus' presence with us right now. Do you understand what I mean, the difference between the two? Okay. Sometimes you can think back and remember something that happened like 10 years ago, but the word remember also is recalling, maybe that's a better word, is recalling the reality and the presence of Jesus in the Holy Spirit with us right now. Okay? So he is here with us right now. Now, we tend not to be a very liturgical church. I think we could all agree with that. We're not too liturgical. And so we don't use a lot of memorized sayings. We don't do a lot of traditional sayings. And I actually think it's quite fine. It's just that we're not that way. So at some traditions at this point in time, or some point in the service, they would actually recite the Lord's Prayer. And it's a good prayer because it really reminds us of what this is all about. We address God as our Heavenly Father and through Jesus Christ. And we acknowledge our dependence on God and even for our daily bread, right? And the heart of the prayer is praying God's kingly rule. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, etc., etc. And so that's always appropriate at this point in the service. And then Jesus did the fourth thing. He gave us bread. Jesus gave the bread to Cleopas, to his disciples, and then he gives it to us. We come and then we receive. And so because Jesus gives, then there is a response. And that's our response. This is where we enter in a physical action sort of way. He gives and we receive to what Jesus gives to us. And normally we come to the table. Other traditions, as we used to years ago, we serve people, and that's fine too. There's just different ways to do these things. But this isn't a joyous occasion, but it's also a solemn occasion. People have often said that even though they know this is a special meal in some ways, they often don't feel anything special at the time, okay? And I completely understand. And, you know, I've heard this many times and throughout the years. But you know what? We tend to live, we're influenced by our society. We live in a consumer-driven society, and we tend to throw out what doesn't work, right? If it doesn't work, we throw it out. So with this kind of thinking, maybe it influences the way we come to the Lord's Supper. Because we feel it doesn't work as we think it should work, we stop taking the Lord's Supper seriously, right? It's not like we don't do it anymore, but we stop taking it seriously. And I think the assumption is this. Since it's supposed to be a special meal, the Lord's Supper after all, it ought to give us some kind of spiritual buzz every time we take it. You know what I mean? So there's a certain expectation sometimes attached to it. But that we feel something warm or that we don't feel something cool out of it really depends on lots of things, right? I mean, it just comes down to pretty basic things that are going on in our lives. You know, it could be the weather outside, right? And you come in here and we have a certain way about us. It could be post-Christmas blues. Maybe we're going through that right now. It could be circumstances in your life. Sadness for some reason. It could be poor health. You slept in. All kinds of just basic life stuff. And so you suddenly find yourself at the Lord's table. But the circumstances of your life doesn't make the presence of Jesus less real. It doesn't make what he did for us less real, does it? Right? So we come to the Lord's table as we are, not some pretend version of ourselves. From the earliest days of the Christian faith, the early church, the Lord's Supper was the central means where Christians were nourished in faith and hope and love. They came to receive what Jesus gave to them. Jesus himself to be with them and in them. And so life with God through Jesus Christ is what we need. Whether we feel anything at the spot or on the spot isn't really the point at all. We by faith engage what God gives to us in spite of how we feel because we know it's real. And so by faith, we move into action. We receive the gift of Jesus' presence with us in the here and now, which was accomplished through what he's done for us on the cross. You know, there's nothing more real to it than this, right? And so incredibly, what we have in our presence by his Spirit is Creator God of the universe, the King of Kings. He is present here with us, now in spirit. And because he is with us, we can cast everything on him. There is no walls, there's no barriers. We can just do it, right? We can do it. We can cast our pain, ourselves, our happiness, our distress onto him. You know, there's an expression called passing the cup. You know, I think you know what I'm talking about. And of course, that refers to the tradition where the tray is passed along the aisles. And some people pass the cup or they don't go forward in the way we do it for various reasons. And I think I know why. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that says, tells us not to partake in the Lord's Supper unworthily and that they should examine themselves before they eat. And so we know that passage well, and Paul writes about that. Now, Paul is addressing what I think is simply self-centered people who have dove into the meal, because the Last Supper really was a meal, right? They dove into the meal and without any consideration for those who were needy, okay? And so he is targeting an issue of self-centeredness. But unfortunately, for many people, they will pass the cup because they, on that day, feel unworthy to take communion. But when we feel weak and unworthy, I think this is precisely why Jesus came and precisely why he invites you to partake in Jesus' meal. That's when you're weak, when you realize that you are frail. We partake because we need Jesus, right? We partake because we need Jesus. And so this is why this whole part of the beginning is this cry for God's mercy is so necessary, because it's a humble prayer. It's a humble asking. Lord, have mercy, because we so desperately need your love. We need your mercy, Lord. So we partake because we need Jesus. Tony Campolo, in one of his books, The Young Letters to a Young Evangelical, shares about from his childhood about what he remembers, what he witnessed at a communion service at his church when he was young. And he became aware of this young lady who sat in the pew in front of them. And she was sobbing and she was shaking for reasons we don't know. But the minister had just finished reading that particular verse that I just read, right? About whoever shall eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So the communion plate was passed around after he said these words and came to this crying lady in her chair. And she just kind of waved it by. Please just pass it by. And lowered her head in despair. Then Tony Campolo's dad, who is this loud Italian guy, seems to go together, doesn't it? But anyway, he said, he leaned over her shoulder because he was right behind her. And he said in his broken English-Italian accent, "Take it, girl. It was meant for you. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Take it." And so she raised her head, and then she nodded, and before the plate went by her, she took the bread, and then she ate it. And so Tony Campolo shares that even as a 6 or 7 year old, he knew that at that moment there was a heavy burden that had lifted off of her heart and her mind. And so Tony shares that since then he has learned that the church should offer communion to hurting people because it's a special gift from God. And I hope we understand that. The Lord's table is something that Jesus gives to you, right? He's passing it out to you. And he says, take it, eat it, because he's saying, you are partaking of me. You need me. You need my presence. Worship me. So as we receive the bread and the wine this morning, or a juice, the story really reaches to this climax. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus, symbolized by this cup of juice, shed his blood to save us from our idolatrous life that enslaves us. He gave us himself, the King, so that we could be with him. And not only to be with him, but so that we could follow him and to live his life day by day by day by day. And so we do this to sustain our life, and we do this until Jesus comes again, where Jesus promises that one day we will eat with him at the great supper of the Lamb in the new heavens, the new heaven, the new earth. An amazing day that will be. So as we partake in the Lord's Supper, like Cleopas and like his partner, may our eyes be open to Jesus. May we recognize and know him even more as we partake in the Lord's communion. So, we got that song queued up? Okay. So, Darren found a lovely song, a golden oldie by Steve Green. And so, let's listen to this song. But as the song is played, I just want to invite you to come. And we'll just play the song as our prayer. And so, I invite you to come. And, in fact, I invite you to come. And why don't we just, can we just stay up here and stand around in a circle around the table? Because we're small enough, okay? And maybe we just pause and we don't have to say anything and worship the Lord at his table. And I invite you to do that. Well, come. Stay here, yeah. Well, we're so close, I'll just pass it to you.
He walked beside me like he'd been there all along. Not a stranger, but a father who can sense when something's wrong. And he answered all my questions, and he understood my fears that somehow vanished now that you feel something stirring in your heart. How his words ring strong and true, like a once familiar strain. Can same. I couldn't bear for him to leave me, so I begged him please to stay, spend the evening a few moments before he went his way. Then like a host he stood and blessed me, broke the bread and poured the wine. Then I knew there was something there I recognized. Yes, I can see who walks with me. I can hear who speaks my name. I can feel something stirring. Like a once familiar strain, and I know I'll never be the same. I can see.
Close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. So, okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this sacred moment, and it's all about you and your grace and giving your life for us. But may we be responders in faith and worship and obedience. May all our lives be impacted by what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week. See you next time.